This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Episodes of the Paracast, I mentioned that Brad Steiger was quite ill, and later that he had gone into, unfortunately and sadly, a hospice. I learned from Tim Beckley that on Sunday, the 6th of May, Brad Steiger died, just past the age of 82. And we all know Brad Steiger is somebody who was an extremely prolific author on the strange and unknown. Going back, I guess, to the 1960s. In fact, I think I was in high school, and this mirrors what someone else on the show is about to say. I think I was in high school when I first read one of his books. And there were so many about UFOs, but his were well written, a lot of fascinating information. And it just seemed to be like a torrent of books with the name Brad Steiger on them, one after another, with a lot of different topics, not just UFOs. He wrote books on ghosts, mysterious creatures, and so on and so forth. Now, when we put together the Paracast in the early part of 2006, we selected two people to be the original guests, the first guest on the show. One was Jim Moseley, and the other was Brad Steiger. And in talking with Brad, we told him that we were going to come up with a name for the show. We were working on some titles. And the one we mentioned was Paracast World. And Brad said, no, why don't you use the Paracast? And here we are, 12 years later. Now, I've invited people who were heavily influenced or very closely associated with Brad Steiger, being colleagues, friends over the years, and we can get more insights on this unique personality who wrote so many books. And I'll take our guests alphabetically. Jerome Clark, of course, we know him from the UFO Encyclopedia. There's a new edition that he's finishing shortly. He'll tell us about that. Don Ecker, once with UFO Magazine, now with the Dark Matters radio show for many years. Kevin D. Randall, also a very prolific author who's written, what, 300 or 400 books, Kevin?
I think it's closer to about 2,000.
And that's yesterday.
Yeah, that was this week.
That sounds like Cal Corp.
Yeah, that's true. The number's somewhere around 125, I think.
125. You're getting up there.
I'm working on it.
Isaac Asimov did, what, 150 or 175?
If you count the books that he edited and co-authored and things like that, it was something over 400.
Whoa.
And there's a romance writer who did 700 books.
Well, the guy who wrote the novels under the title The Shadow, Walter B. Gibson, who wrote most of them under the name, I think, Maxwell Grant, he wrote 300 novels about The Shadow.
Well, The Shadow knows.
Kevin.
Yes?
You wrote a little obituary about Brad Steiger on your blog. And you, I guess, became acquainted with his writings around the same time I did. Can you tell us more?
I also was in high school. I remember reading Strangers in the Sky, sitting in a study hall one day. And as I said in the blog, I didn't really spark my interest in UFOs, but it certainly solidified it in some fashion and inspired me to do more with my research into UFOs, which has expanded exponentially from them. And I think some of the discussions I had with Brad about UFOs and the paranormal also helped kind of guide me into some of the lanes that I have selected during my writing.
How'd you come to first meet him?
I think I've told this story many, many times, and people might be getting a little tired of it. But when I was in college at the University of Iowa, I had a friend whose family owned the Baskin-Robbins store, and we would go to the back of the store to study. And he told me that he had a friend, they were from Clinton, Iowa, and he had a friend named Warren Smith, who wrote UFO books. And Warren Smith knew, and Brad Steiger actually collaborated on any number of books, and told me that Brad Steiger, you know, the guy Brad Steiger's really name was Eugene Olson, and he taught college in Decorah, Iowa at the Luther College. And I was working on something that did with the strange disappearances like Oliver Lurch and those sorts of things. And there was a story that Brad had published in one of his books about a kid in Wales who had vanished in circumstances similar to those of Oliver Lurch. Knowing that it was Eugene Olson, knowing that he lived in Decorah, Iowa, I called directory assistance and asked for Eugene Olson's phone number, and they gave it to me. This is for all you youngsters out there. This is before we had the internet and Google and all of that stuff. You had to call directory assistance. And I called him, very cordial on the phone, told him what I was working on, what would go on. He said, oh, don't use that story. It's a hoax. I found out it was a hoax. And that was kind of our beginnings, was that conversation. I talked to him decades later in about that and asked him if he remembers. So I remember that very clearly. And I guess he was kind of excited that someone from Iowa had called him to talk about UFOs or the paranormal. But that kind of grew from that phone conversation, only because I knew his real name at the time. I say real name at the time. It was Eugene Olson. He legally changed it to Brad Steiger at some point.
I think it's more and more common about people who adopt pseudonyms because it makes it more, it makes it easier to cope with all the paperwork and to talk to people who are members of your family and friends, but also people from the public.
Well, I've adopted some pseudonyms only because of the publisher wanted to publish more of my books more frequently and didn't want to have them competing with each other on the newsstand. So I wrote under the action adventure books, I wrote as Steve McKinsey and Kat Brannigan. And no, I did not pick the name Kat Brannigan. The publisher picked it. But, you know, I think there's all kinds of reasons people pick pseudonyms. And I know with Brad Steiger, he was an admirer of the actor Rod Steiger. So he picked a name that reflected his admiration for that particular actor.
What was your general impression of Brad Steiger as investigator, writer, and someone who influenced you?
I always admired the way he approached a story, which was he was going to believe what people told him until he found a reason not to. And I thought, as more of an investigative journalist than Brad considered himself, that I had to verify the information much more carefully than he did. He was comfortable with what he was doing and what he was writing, and he would believe what people would tell him until he learned the truth. And then he'd tell the truth. And I think it sort of is reflected in the story when I first contacted him about the story of the kid in Wales who disappeared under mysterious circumstances. He was quick to point out, oh, I have since learned that is a hoax. And I think we've all kind of fallen into that. I mean, Don Ecker and Jerry Clark as well, where we believed people telling us the truth and later found out that they were fabricating much of what they were telling us. My impression was that Brad was a little bit more lenient than Don Ecker or Jerry Clark or I might have been in talking to some of those witnesses. And I kind of liked that attitude, but I saw my job as requiring me to be a little bit more aggressive in verifying the information than Brad often was.
So he was, in a sense, without criticizing the practice, focusing more on a good story.
He was looking at the story. If there was something that caught his attention that he didn't find believable or credible, he would not pass it along. But, I think one of the things is on my blog, I've been caught in this little dust up over the Coin helicopter case, you know, the Army helicopter that was approached by the UFO in 1973. And, we have all the documentation from the various witnesses that were involved. And I've got their statements and all of that. But yesterday I had an opportunity to talk to one of the crew members.
And you know what? Let's talk about that in my next segment. That's good to follow up on this because you've been doing a lot of great work in looking at older cases and trying to give them that second look to see what new stuff you might learn about them. We've got Don, Kevin, Jerry, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're doing kind of a memorial or observance of the life and times of Brad Steiger with Kevin Randall, Don Ecker, Jerome Clark. We'll hear from Jerry next. And you were talking about looking at some of the older cases like the coin case. And you talked to somebody yesterday? about it?
I talked to one of the crew members yesterday afternoon about it, but the point is not that I'd done that, but I had all the documentation. I just wanted to get the guy's own words, and I think Brad often would take the documentation and run with it without verifying the words, and what I verified yesterday was exactly what was in the documents, but I would think it was taking an extra step that Brad sometimes didn't take, and I think that, you know, I admired the way he did his job as he saw it. And I kind of wished I could do the same thing, but I never felt I could. And it's not a criticism of Brad, it's an admiration for the way he actually conducted his business.
Jerry, how did you first come in touch with Brad Steiger?
I read a book which Kevin mentioned several minutes ago, Strangers in the Skies, which was the first time I encountered the name Brad Steiger. The book was published in 1966. And I reviewed it not very favorably for Fate magazine. That's how I heard from Brad. And he was actually quite nice about it. I wrote back to him, if someone's nice to me, I'll be nice to that person. So, and he was just such a gracious guy. You know, he was, all the things that Kevin says, I think, are quite insightful. I think that he mostly thought of himself as a storyteller. He liked to tell stories, and he was a good writer. And he told them well. You know, I didn't know him all that well personally. I met him several times, each time under happy circumstances, and had a just great time with him. But, you know, I think Kevin and I probably have harder edges around this and are more skeptical. And I think that Brad privately wasn't any kind of foolish, gullible doofus. But as Kevin said, he just tended to take things. You know, he tended to trust people on some level. And I think that generally, you know, Brad had a kind of more positive, you could call it New Age, not the really stupid end of New Age, but just generally a more kind of optimistic personality. And so he was dealing with these materials differently from the way that Kevin and I have dealt with them, even though we're all Midwestern guys with Midwestern personalities. My experiences with Brad were nothing but happy, and he was the guy who made it possible for me to be a writer and never make any sizable amount of money. So when I wanted to publish my first book, he told his agent, his New York agent, and we got the first book, which I wrote with Lauren Coleman, published, The Unidentified, in 1975. And so Brad was the guy who got me started and to whom I owe everything. And so when he died, it made me very sad.
I know at Fate magazine, you were, what, an associate editor or something?
No, I started working for Fate, I think, in 1970, and then I moved back to Minnesota, and then I came back to Fate in 1976 and worked there until it was sold, I left at the end of February 1989. So I had two shifts at Fate magazine, the first between 70 and 71. But I just think that Brad was a guy who was able to ride the wave. And what happened was that in the mid-60s, there suddenly was revival of interest in anomalies, the paranormal, occultism. And Brad had always been interested in those things. And I think that he saw this as an opportunity to write about what he wanted to write about, live the kind of life he wanted to live. And that's what he did. And he was successful. He had many friends. God knows how many books he wrote.
170.
170. Okay. And I don't know how I don't know how guys write like that. I've been at this all my life, and I've written just maybe 20, 25 books. I can't even count them. But Brad just, he was always busy. He had a great work ethic.
Sounds a bit like Nick Redfern, where every single day he would continue to work on a book.
Yeah. Maybe Redfern is kind of the next Brad Steiger, but I don't think anybody's going to replace Brad.
What should we, as people who follow the literature or the investigation of the world of the paranormal, what should we take away from
Brad Steiger?
That's a good question. Because when I think of Brad, I don't think I read one of his books after about 1980. And so I didn't read Brad. I knew what was in Brad's books. But my own thinking, my own approach had really gone in very different directions. So I thought always of Brad as a guy I really liked, and I wish that I would see more often. And when we would get together, we could talk. And Brad and I, when we talked personally, were talking pretty much alike, seeing many of the things the same way. But I didn't see that reflected so much in his books, which I think were for an audience of people who generally weren't too critical-minded, but enjoyed the good stories. And I think if you've been at this long enough, most of us kind of lose interest in the stories. What we're interested in is patterns and theories and ways of making sense of things. And we get tired of telling the stories. And I think Brad never tired of telling the stories, which is a good thing. Storytelling is a good thing.
Do you think that works better with people who are somewhat new to these subjects?
Yes. Or there are some people, like I remember the late Lou Farish. Lou Farish hated the idea that people were making theories out of these things. And he just wanted to hear the stories, the cases. He never tired of that. But to me, and I think Kevin and Don, I think this is true. I'm not speaking for you guys, but generally, as thinkers, as people who try to see patterns and things and make sense of things, eventually we're drawn to hypothesis making. How does this little item fit in the larger picture? And really that becomes what you're interested in at a certain point, if you're thinking hard about these things. And I think Brad thought about them. It just wasn't so much reflected in what he wrote.
Don Ecker, under what circumstances did you encounter Brad Steiger or his work?
I first encountered Brad back in the very late 1980s or the beginning of 1990. Now, at that time, I was the director of research for UFO Magazine, and I, of course, was very familiar with a lot of the work that that Brad and his wife, Sherry, had put out.
Let's do our break here, and we'll continue with Don Ecker. We have Don Ecker, we have Kevin Randall, Jerome Clark, I'm Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know.
GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Frank Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Frank Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals, or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Franklin Limited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Don Ecker, Gene Steinberg, Jerome Clark, and Kevin D. Randall doing an observance of the life of Brad Steiger, who passed away on the 6th of May. And Don Ecker was telling us how he first came in touch with him while he was working on UFO Magazine. Don, continue.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I first encountered Brad Steiger back in the very late 1980s or 1990, and at the time, I was the director of research for UFO Magazine. Now, in full disclosure, I never knew Brad Steiger very well at all. Mostly, I knew him by reputation and by his printed work. And also, in full disclosure, I've got to say that back in those days, I was a very hard-edged researcher back in those days. I had come from the field of law enforcement, and I was primarily concerned with the facts of a situation. Now, Kevin, at the beginning of this show, wrapped up his feelings and my feelings and Jerry's on this in a superb way. I was not totally enraptured by the way Brad presented his work. He loved a good story. And let's face it, a good story is a lot of fun. But at that time, I looked at this in an entirely different light. I was in it to try to crack through to find out what in the world was behind the phenomenon of unidentified flying objects. Now, I also have to say that Brad, although he was a well-known paranormal researcher, was never considered one of the top UFO researchers. So a lot of the work that Brad did, I gave, quite honestly, short shrift to. Now, that's not to say that I didn't like him or his work and that I didn't enjoy a good story. But the fact of the matter was, when it came to the thing that I was primarily interested in, which was researching the UFO topic, I didn't think that I was going to hold Brad in real high regard in that aspect of the phenomenon.
Well, he did write a lot of material about UFOs. Is it that he had so much else going on that maybe you didn't pay as much attention? And because of the fact that he always emphasized the good story?
I don't know if that was it or not. Back in those days, you will have to remember, and perhaps you didn't know this, I don't know, but I had a series of investigative articles that I ran for a number of years in UFO magazine called The Whistleblowers. And in that series of articles, I examined the claims of a lot of very, very fringe people in the field, people like Milton William Cooper, people like Guy Kirkwood, a.k.a. Noel Bryce Cornwall, and a number of other pseudonyms, people like George Green. And I was interested in cutting through the noise to get to the meat of the subject. Brad just kind of slipped for a long time, I guess, under my radar because, hey, he wasn't doing anything in any way offensive to anybody. But I was primarily interested in getting to the meat of the subject. There were a lot of cases going on then. There was the Roswell case, of course, which had taken on a life of its own. There were the abduction phenomenon that for years ended up being the tail that wagged the dog. There were military cases that were beginning to break through. There were cases like the STS-48 shuttle, the Phobos 1 and 2 Mars probe from the former Soviet Union. So there were a lot of things that I was involved in. And quite honestly, Brad, I probably would be honest if I said I didn't give him a heck of a lot of thought then.
Well, that's fair enough. That's fair enough to focus on one particular thing. What about you, Jerry? What are your feelings about what Don said?
Well, I understand exactly what Don is saying. It's that I had this personal connection with Brad. So Brad is always part of my life, and he was always somebody that I really liked and respected, even though we were doing things quite differently. But one thing I admired about Brad, and sometimes I would see some kind of snarky comment about him somewhere, like, you know, he was just in it for the money and he didn't care, so on. No, Brad was entirely honest. He was just a good, honest Midwesterner. He just reminded me of the people that I grew up with and even now live around. He just had this ethos in his personal life that I recognized. Both of us were raised as Lutherans in small Midwestern towns and in some ways had outgrown those towns, but in other ways remained attached enough to them that later in our lives we came back to live in those towns that we grew up in that culture. You know, even though we're not entirely part of it, it has shaped us enough that we feel reasonably comfortable here. And Brad was really happy for me when I moved back to small town Minnesota because he had longed for much of his professional life to be able to move back to small town Iowa, which he did. So we had that in common. And we had just a kind of, a common upper Midwestern experience, and I think that was part of the tie between us, that even if we hadn't both been interested in anomalies and paranormal and things like that, we still would have gotten along because we were bright guys who came from the same place.
Now, when I saw Brad lecture in Arizona during one of Tim Beckley's conventions, his presentation came up very much like a country preacher. What was your impression?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Not one of the evangelical groups, but like a kind of mainstream, you know, Protestant denomination, like i.e. Lutheranism, which we both grew up in. And it just shaped, you know, I'm not religious anymore, and I don't know that how Brad defined himself religiously. But that kind of morality, that kind of general sort of progressive outlook on the world was shaped by, you know, our Lutheran experience. And so we just talk the same language, just not only about weird stuff, but just generally have shared a broad cultural outlook. It's kind of hard to describe unless you grew up in it. But, you know, we were both small town bookish kids. We're really curious about the larger world and eager to go out into it. And we went into it and had many interesting experiences and learned a lot. But then at the end of it, we wanted to go home. And we both went home.
Let's look at a different or similar attitude, a different attitude from Kevin Randall. How did you approach your friendship with Brad Steiger?
Just one researcher to another, you know, someone who is a friend and a colleague and that sort of thing. I know when I was doing my radio show on KTSM Radio in El Paso, I could count on Brad if I needed a guest. He was always ready to help me out with that or provide the names and phone numbers and addresses or how to contact people to be on the program as well. I just always looked at him as a colleague and a friend who was interested in the same things that I was interested in, although his interests were delved into some aspects of the paranormal that didn't particularly interest me.
Let's do our break here, and we'll continue with Kevin Randall, Don Ecker, Jerry Clark. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Health
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I don't know if Ken Randall wants to do that or not. He'll get down here with the boys and go there. So researcher to researcher. With me, I looked at Brad Steiger as an acquaintance, not a close friend, because we only met a few times, but we wrote back and forth and covered different aspects and times where I needed more information. He was always a ready resource. Though I agree with the general tenure here is that he presented wonderful stories and a lot of times good starting points, I think. And maybe you folks can correct me if you think I'm taking the wrong approach here. But you find an interesting story that may be up your line in the things you're doing. And then from that, you can go ahead and look at that story further. Try to verify it or find holes in it. What do you think?
I think you've kind of got it. When I talked to Brad about cases, he would give me all the information that he had about it. He employed maybe too strong of a term, but he had friends like Glenn McWade, who lived in Iowa City, that when he wanted additional information, he would contact Glenn to do some of the harder research for him. So I didn't want to give the impression up front that Brad would just listen to the story and that would be the end of it, because I know there were cases, one of them here in Iowa in 1969, where two young girls, teenage girls, saw an object that hovered over a bean field and caused damage to the beans. And Brad asked Glenn McWade to gather soil samples, and Glenn McWade was able to have those sorts of things analyzed. So he didn't just sit there in his armchair looking at this. He did take it to other dimensions based on what was available for him to explore. So he did his homework, and I don't want to give the impression that he was just willy-nilly about this sort of thing, because he did care about getting the facts right. It was just that his, I guess, impression of the human race or the goodness of the human race was that most people would be honest in what he told them, and he would accept those sorts of things until he found out otherwise. And I think he was always disappointed when he learned that somebody had not been as honest as they could be. But he did his homework. He did his research when he could. He did go out into the field to investigate, and he had friends that he collaborated with on some of these investigations. So it wasn't just sitting around looking for the good stories, but also verifying aspects of the good stories. When he was talking about the girls in the bean field. He talked to the parents. He talked to the girls. He had the physical evidence analyzed and published the information about that in his book. I know somebody in a review of Brad Steiger's work had said, well, he's lying about the pseudoscience. And I never got the impression he was lying about anything. He would report what he believed to be the truth. It may not have been grounded in reality. We've all been caught in that, where we've believed something that turned out not to be true, but he would not publish anything that he didn't believe to be the truth. And he could be wrong, and we've all been wrong on those sorts of things. So I think that, you know, that's an important point to make. He got us all interested in the topic, or kept us interested in the topic, and he helped us when he could or when we asked for that help. I know that he called me a couple of times and asked me for help on things where my expertise was needed. And I was always more than happy to do that. And I kind of took that away from him as well, that if people contact me about UFO cases or things like that, I try to provide the assistance when I can. And Brad was always willing to provide the assistance whenever I talked to him about it. I think that's an important thing to remember.
Jerry, you have a comment?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that Brad didn't have a dishonest bone in his body, and he was a generous and kind man. I don't think he had very many enemies. It's pretty hard to go through life and not, you know, have occupy some space in public attention as Brad did, as Kevin does. And, you know, all of us who write and our names are out there, we all have people looking at us and paying attention to us. And whether we want to or not, we end up making enemies. I think that Brad, for all his public visibility, had remarkably few enemies. You really had to go out of your way to be an enemy of Brad Steiger. And anybody who says that he was lying, he was shading the truth, he was dishonest, that he was anything other than who he appeared to be, is a fool or a liar.
Well, and I'd like to just append one thing, too, is if you go back and you pick a movie you like, pick a book you like, read the reviews of it that you can now can find all over the Internet, and no matter how careful you've been in the book or what you said in the book, you're going to offend somebody some way. You look at reviews of people, of movies that people just love, and you're always going to find the negative reviews. You're going to offend somebody some way. And I don't think Brad ever attempted to do that, offend people. But the mere process of writing, the mere process of analyzing these stories sometimes created enemies.
Well, we live in an age today where a vast majority of many people go out of their way to be offended. And that's a very unfortunate part of our life, and probably much of it has to do with social media, Twitter and Facebook and, you know, Instagram. I mean, you name it, and you're going to find people that are offended. And God help the poor slob that ventures ever into a political arena, because that's the prime place to get offended. So as a result, I myself try to stay out of those areas. I offend a lot of people by just getting up in the morning. So, you know, there it is.
Well, welcome to the club. I think there are a few people out there, and we know who they are, who would much prefer if I didn't get up in the morning. But, you know, that's how life is. I have a question of all of you here in terms of Brad Steiger, since we're looking at one, a gentle, kind man, and also somebody involved in this arena. And sometimes maybe some of the cases could have been better investigated. Did any of you ever find, and you can speak up if you want, a case in one of his books where you looked at it and said, you know, this isn't it. This isn't for real, or there's something wrong with it.
I can tell you about one. Brad's, I think of all the books that Brad wrote, his favorite was Mysteries of Time and Space. And I read that book when it came out. It was published, I believe, in 1974. And I really liked the book, and I wrote a review in the Minneapolis Tribune of it. And that a quote from that review appears in all subsequent editions of the book. And it was reprinted several years ago, I think by Patrick Weish, I'm not certain off the top of my head. But I got a copy of the book, and I thought, you know, I'll look at this book again because I haven't read it in decades. And I found that it was full of stuff that has not held up well, including, you know, a lot of material. And it's a book where Brad is trying to hypothesize about the nature of reality and how kind of plastic it can be. And I agree with that as a general proposition. I think that that reality probably is a lot more plastic and elusive and elastic than we think it is. But he was using stuff that just, like, I remember the Allende letters, things like that, that just, you know, allegedly mysterious archaeological artifacts that, you know, have since been disproved or turned out to be something less radical in their implications. And so there was a lot of stuff in it that just didn't really stand up. On the other hand, you can say the same. There's a fair amount of that in Ford, too, that hasn't stood up. But it was kind of disappointing. And but I knew that Brad wrote the book honestly, and he meant it honestly. And it is an interesting book. It's among the most interesting of his books to read because it hangs together in a way a lot of them don't. It's kind of brought together by an overarching hypothesis. And the hypothesis itself may have some validity. It's just that some of the data that he brought to bear are not that convincing.
Well, if I can jump in real quick, I'd like to say one thing. I think we've all done this where we've written about a story or a case or something like that, telling what we believed to be the truth at the time and later learning on that the facts as presented originally just don't hold up. And so we were not being disingenuous at the time we wrote it. Subsequent events have shown us what the truth really is. And I think that's what Brad got caught up. And I was thinking the same thing about that book, because there's a number of things in that book that didn't hang up. He's got a picture of these two cigar-shaped objects near Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And I actually got copies of the pictures from the local newspaper, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and made some analysis of them based on that.
Let's talk about that analysis in our next segment with Don Eckert, Jerry Clark, Kevin Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.